Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Welcome everyone to our first Twitter Spaces. I hope you find it interesting. The audio quality might not be what you're used to, but this is just something. It's like a, like Adam said, it's like a live radio show, and I think that's very apt. If you're interested in this, you can always message us at middleagegaming2020@gmail.com. We actually just got our first email this week, not related to the podcast, but for Phil, but it's still really. So this is a really cool format. As you guys know, I work in crypto, and we do this quite regularly there where people talk and you can invite people to speak up on stage. It's a very accessible format. If it's interesting, please let us know and we can keep doing this. Otherwise, we are going to be back doing a YouTube video next week. And I believe we're talking about, what is that game, Adam?
Forspoken, yeah.
Yeah, so next week we're going to be doing a show about Forspoken, which I have forgotten what it's about, but maybe we'll talk about that a bit later. But before we start getting into today's topic, Antoine, you've been away for a while. Do you want to tell us what you've been playing, if you have been playing?
I haven't been playing much, but recently my son discovered that Genshin Impact is free on PlayStation 4. So he's trying to push me to play on my computer so we can play co-op together. So I humor him and started to play Genshin Impact a bit. I really still think that it's a knockoff Zelda, but still, that's what I've been playing for a couple of days, and I actually streamed it, so you can see it on Twitch or YouTube or stuff like this.
Very cool. I think I did see the stream. So how are you finding?
It's not bad, okay, because it's still a free game.
Do we lose the intro?
Don't expect much, right?
He's still here.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I think Adam might be having internet issues.
Yeah, that might be. All right. So just to answer your question of Genshin Impact, honestly, for a free game, it's really good. If you take off the fact that it's, yeah, a very heavy knockoff of Breath of the Wild with Asian lollies, basically. But just the fact that there's a little bit of a red line, you know, a little bit of story to follow. It's an exploration game, so it's plenty of countryside with lots of, I want to say, puzzles and mysteries. It's really stories for my son, basically, for 10 years old. It's never very tricky or anything. So it's okay. It's not bad. And I'm sure my son will be very happy when we reach the level 16, because you have to reach adventure level 16 to start playing co-op together. And he'll be very happy when we start playing together, I'm sure. So as long as he's happy, he's okay. But if it was just by myself, I would play maybe 5-10 hours until I start thinking, yeah, enigmas or these puzzles are really subpar. And I understand that it's a nice game and it relies heavily on gacha. And if you're a gacha fan, of course, this is what is going to, you know, pull you back in. I've never been a fan of gacha, as I said in a previous show that we had. So if you never heard, find on your local podcast app. We did a show on gacha a while ago. That wasn't really my type of game. We did it on a free mobile game. Genshin Impact is a free mobile game, so gacha is exactly what you expect for this kind of games. As far as mobile game goes, and you know that I'm not a big fan of this kind of game, honestly, to be perfectly objective, it's actually not bad. It's honestly actually not bad. Which is why I streamed it, otherwise I wouldn't.
Yeah, that makes sense. Adam, any questions about Genshin Impact?
No, I played it for a little bit. And yeah, when I played it, it was fun. And for a free game, I think it was actually pretty solid. I'm not a big fan of gacha either. But from what I've heard, you really only need the 5-star characters if you want to do a lot of the kind of in-game dungeons and stuff. If you just want to play through the story, you can do that with the characters they give you, let alone the ones that you're going to unlock from free Primo gems and whatnot. But yeah, I planned on going back to it, but I never got around to it just because of the backlog. So,
and if you think that the stream I did lack commentaries. It's on purpose. You know, I don't like speaking by myself with my very heavy French accent. I would do it in French without problem, but speaking in English, that's weird. That's why I cut off the commentaries. It's the kind of let's plays that you just look at just to fall asleep. I actually like, you know, this kind of let's play myself. Like, you're tired, you just put this, you have it as a background, and you hear the game, and I like that kind of stuff. It's getting hard to sleep, you know, when you get older.
Oh, very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Adam, what about you? What you been playing?
I finished Monster Sanctuary, I think maybe Saturday or Sunday. So I tried going through and collecting all the monsters and that sort of thing, but I just hit a wall with the difficulty spike where once I hit max level, the way the game does levels is based on the number of areas that you've discovered. So now everything that I fight is also level 40. So I can't over level and get through that way. So then you have to do these, apparently you have to really think about your team comp and do a lot of min-maxing and a lot of experimentation. And for me, it was just, okay, now it's not as much fun anymore, because now what I have to do is I have to go out and find specific monsters and then level them up, which isn't that hard, but because I can collect them at level 36 or 37. And then once I do, then I have to experiment with their builds and experiment with what monsters mesh with other monsters and then take them into the fights. And it just got to the point where it was like, okay, now it's becoming a chore. So I stopped playing that and I played Pray for the Gods, and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to play this, I'm going to start it, and then I'll be able to stream it on Friday. But then I finished it in less than 10 hours. So over the course of the week, it's already done. So I'm okay, do I still stream this, or do I just jump into Death Stranding or something? So right now I've been doing Pray for the Gods, and I'm trying to collect all the lots of the smaller things that you can collect in the game. Yeah, you can get little totems and whatnot, and you can get some extra weapons. So I've been collecting those, but yeah, I've already beaten it, so there's not really too much else to do. Probably end up streaming Death Stranding on Friday.
Very cool. Death Stranding sounds interesting. I still want to pick it up. I want to ask you guys both, since you guys are both Blizzard fans in a way, did you guys see Blizzard's new mobile game announced last night?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's called Acolyte Rumble. I watched the trailer as like the first thing when I woke up this morning. It reminds me of the Clash of the Clans card game. I forgot what the name of that is called.
I didn't even know there was a Clash of the Clans card game.
Anyway, I was hoping you guys had seen it, but that's like the big news this morning. Is Blizzard's second mobile game after Diablo Immortal was talked about coming to PC, but this is mobile only. Warcraft Acolyte Rumble. Maybe we can talk about it next week.
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer right now.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly. They call it a tower offense game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe you guys can watch it. We kept slipping in there towards the end of the show. I'll talk about, so what I've been playing this week is Dragon Quest Builders 2, which is the game I've always wanted to buy, but Nintendo's first-party titles are very famous for never going on discount, but Dragon Quest Builders 2 was finally down from $60 to $30, and I bought it on discount, and I'm glad I did, because it has that sort of Stardew Valley-esque building, sort of very easy, go here, do that sort of stuff, the stuff that I like, and it's nice, and it works really well, because I'm playing all my Switch games via a projector at the moment. I'm still playing lots of Hearthstone. I played Orcs Must Die 3 last night. All the gaming is going well, but definitely Dragon Quest Builders 2, I think, is not on sale anymore. But I think I plugged this site last time. It's called DekuDeals.com. If you're like me and maybe you're like in a mode for Switch gaming, you should definitely put all your stuff on there, and you can get emails when your games are on sale and give it a go. But it's a really fun building game and Minecraft-ish in a sense, and I'm enjoying it a lot. Okay, and let's keep going.
All right.
Okay, so today, right, we were going to talk about historical games, but Anton, since you are not, or you were away, I wasn't really sure what you meant. What do you mean by historical?
I was saying actually story games, story-driven games. That's the thing. When you say history, what are we talking about? Like games with historical figure, like in Assassin's Creed? Are we talking about story-driven game like RPGs, typically Final Fantasy? Or lore. Take Warhammer, for instance. You can do a game and you don't care about the background, but there's a massive background that are calling Fluff, which is basically the Warhammer lore. and you can get lost for days and months because of all the books there is on it. Yeah, that's the kind of topic I wanted to discuss. What do you guys like to play most? Like the story-driven games, the stuff with lots of lore that you can keep getting lost into even after you finish the game, or the real historical game, such as, I'm thinking Black Flag, which has a lot of historical character to enhance the experience of the game, or things like this.
Okay, that's an accurate explanation. What is your take on this topic today?
I always really like story-driven games, typically. Obviously, it's fun every now and then to play something that's just dumb fun, but yeah, I typically like the stories, which is why I play a lot of RPGs and don't play so many of the competitive multiplayer games as much, just because in competitive multiplayer, obviously, you want to keep the action going because you want people to be able to move at the same pace. So if you have to stop for lore dumps and stuff like that, it's not going to work very well. So for me, that's part of the reason why I typically play single player games. And yeah, RPGs are typically the best for that. But I typically like things that have a lot of deep lore in them, where you can go through and learn about the history of the world and things that you might not necessarily see, but you can, like, you come to a town and you can see the history of the town or stuff like that. I typically like those kind of games that have really fleshed out worlds. The Star Wars of games, you have each little town like a little planet, and you have species with their backgrounds and everything.
So do you have an example of it?
Okay. Obviously, you could have, like, Final Fantasy is a big franchise. They have a lot of story-driven. They don't typically have too much lore in the background, just because every single game is different. They'd have to rebuild an entire world from scratch every single time. But as far as background, one game that I always thought had a really interesting, like, a background world to it was, and an interesting story was, what was it called? Soul Sacrifice on the PlayStation Vita was really interesting to me. Because what they did is, in that game, they have this world and you're following the story of a guy. Literally, you have a talking book, and the book is telling you the story of this guy. And he's on a journey with his friend who is slowly becoming corrupted by false memories. Because in that world, if a sorcerer is somebody who can use magic, but your magic is stored in your left arm. And so you can absorb the souls of monsters and other people into your left arm. And that's where your magic basically stems from, because you can get the powers of whatever it is that you've absorbed. But you absorb them wholesale. So then you absorb their memories and such too. So over time, you can start to mix their memories with your memories. So for example, at one time, he's talking about how his friend wanted to go see his family. So they went on this long journey to go visit his friend's family. And when they get to the house, everybody's dead and whatnot. But then nobody in the town recognizes his friend. And it turns out that actually what had happened was his friend had sacrificed another sorcerer who had become corrupted. And that sorcerer had a family. And when he sacrificed that sorcerer and took on his memories, he thought it was his own family. And so slowly over time, this guy becomes more and more corrupted by these memories and the emotions of monsters and whatnot. But then they also go into the lore of every single monster. So they have compendiums. So if you defeat a monster, you can go into this, basically the appendix or whatever it is of this book, and it will tell you where the monster comes from, the story of it. And most of the monsters are inspired by fairy tales from our world. So they're like corrupted fairy tale kind of things. One of my favorites was, one of the levels was Resplendent Rapunzel, I believe. And if in the level, you just have these towering giant heads floating in the air on these long necks that are basically like tree trunks. And in the story, what it was, there was a town, and in the town, bandits came by and would steal the daughters of the town. And at one point they came and they killed all the men of the town. So the only thing that were left were the mothers. And they were so afraid of the bandits coming back that they made a wish that they could protect their daughters forever. And there's this chalice in the game that shows up when people get desperate, and it shows up. So they make a wish on it, and they all grow their heads super large, and then their necks stretch out, and they root themselves to the ground. And so their daughters live in crowns on their heads, and then their hair grows super long so that the daughters can climb down, and they can retract their hair when the bandits come, so the daughters can climb back up. And it's really weird, but it's really rich and it's really interesting. And I really like things like that.
Yeah, is it only a PS Vita game, or can you find it anywhere? Because I never got a PS Vita, but each time you speak, you seems to have some PS Vita games in your mind. So I feel that there's a lot of good games I missed.
There were so many good games on it. You can get them on, if you have PlayStation TV, which was basically a Vita that you could plug into your TV. if you had that, you could get them. But currently, no, there's no other way to get them. One thing that they did say was with the new PlayStation thing, they said that you're getting the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 1 games, downloadable PlayStation 3 games, streaming. And they did mention PSP, but they didn't mention PS Vita. So it's up in the air as to whether some of these games will come out or not. So I'm hoping they do, so that more people can experience them, because there were a lot of really great games on the Vita. But otherwise, yeah, they've never released it anywhere else, which is a shame. And also a lot of these games, Soul Sacrifice, Freedom Wars, Gravity Rush, a lot of these games were released by Studio Japan, which is now defunct. It doesn't exist anymore. They disbanded it. Yeah, they're all, was it Japan Studio? Studio Japan, I don't remember what it was called. It was Sony themselves. It was an in-house developer. They still have all the IPs and everything. So they could do more with it, or they could re-release it if they wanted to, but I don't think there are any plans to right now.
Cool. It's a good thing I tagged this with Final Fantasy, because I knew someone would bring Final Fantasy up at least once in this podcast today.
I was actually going to go straight for Soul Sacrifice, but I noticed you tagged Final Fantasy, and I was like, I guess we're obligated to talk about it. So I was like, I don't want to not mention it. And then Korean has his tag up. So I was like, I better bring it up just in case.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just going to be brought up automatically.
No, I wasn't going to until I saw the tag. That's why I glossed over it and went straight to the...
No, I'm going to fluff out about what Adam said. I really agree on the fact that I love story-driven game with a lot of lore behind. And we talked recently a lot about Horizon Zero Dawn or Forbidden West. Typically, it's the kind of game that I saw a lot of people saying it's a boring game. Of course, if you don't like the story, it's boring. It's basically an exploration game, a lambda, a bit like everything else. But if you get interested in the story, that's fluff, a lot of lore that you scan. And there's lots of side stories that never hear or learn about if you don't take the time to read all of this text. And I can understand that maybe younger player, like, oh my God, I have to read all of that. I don't want to. So I can understand that it can be boring for some people, but I really like to have all this fluff around. What I really like is when I play a game, that the story is interesting. I want to feel that the universe it created feels alive. And typically, when I think of the best game I've ever played, the first or one of the first which come in my mind would be Mass Effect. Because Mass Effect is story-driven on three games, four if you count Andromeda, soon to be five. I really hope very soon, but I don't even know if they have a release date in mind at the moment. But the story of Mass Effect is fantastic from beginning to the end. That's agreeable at the end, at least. All three games are fantastic, and there's a big lore, like each alien race has its own story that you learn through the games, and depending on your choice, maybe you will learn about it or not. Or I don't remember the race of kind of warrior-like crocodile. I don't remember exactly what their name was. But you can choose to exterminate them or save them with a genophage. I found that fantastic because you are part of the story. So this is typically the kind of game that I really love. And maybe it's just because I'm not too young anymore, but I feel like when we were younger, there was a very big attention on the story because the games were quite ugly, to be honest. Even if at the time we were like, wow, such a revolution. It's like 3 pixels together. So they had to make a very interesting story behind to keep you playing the game. At least for Final Fantasy, typically. Because if you remember the first Final Fantasy, there was not even a background as black in the first or maybe second and third one. I don't remember when they started including animation. There wasn't even animation on the characters. They just succeeded in making a great story, and that's why, you know, the games were great. And I really liked this kind of games much more than the Assassin's Creed, which include historical figure. And somehow I can't get into it as much as I would in a completely fabricated fantasy games such as Mass Effect or Warhammer 40k or this kind of thing.
Well, that's interesting. I have to say, I expected both of your answers to be just exactly what you, so that's really cool. Do you guys find that you're in any way becoming less interested in story, or as you get older, you're becoming more interested in story?
For me, I'd say I'm becoming more interested in story as I go.
I have always been interested in story, but I feel that video games have been evolving a lot, and it's hard to compare before and after. But still, recently I played Subnautica. The history or the story is quite bare bones. You go from point A to point B because it's a sandbox game, and you need something to go through the game. Yet, you know, the story is quite simple, but it's still good. And again, there's quite a lot of fluff that you can find in little stories that, if you take the time to read, are very interesting. So yeah, okay. Still very interested in stories, and still be interested in stories to come. Hopefully good story in Starfield, by the way.
For both of you guys, again, like, when it comes to story and lore, what do you think game developers are not doing yet that you wish they were doing?
That's a good one.
Be like more simplified lore, or you want more customized lore to, if you're going this direction in the game, you want lore for that situation, or story for that situation, or how do you guys see it?
I would always like more branching stories. It's one thing that I always enjoyed in games that do the Chrono Trigger thing. The choices that you make in the story affect things down the line. And as far as lore, that's background, that's history. That's I don't see why that would change depending on your choices, because those are events that have already occurred. But yeah, I'd like to see more games where your choices really matter. Because I like a lot of games now, Horizon Forbidden West and Horizon Zero Dawn, your choices, you don't get that many choices. They're mostly just dialogue choices to get more information. But the game is pretty much linear as far as the story goes. And then people, I've always seen people compare that to, say, The Witcher 3. And one thing that people are always saying about The Witcher 3 is they're like, oh, it has 30 different endings. But most of those endings actually weren't endings to the game. They were endings to side quests, and they didn't, most of them didn't come back to affect the gameplay really all that much. Like, no matter what, you pretty much end up in the same situation. It's just in the big final fight, who's there and who's not there. But from your perspective, you're still in the same fight. You're still fighting the same guys for the same reasons. You're still going through the same cutscenes and everything. It's just a matter of who can you talk to in the final fight, dialogue-wise. So I would like to see more games where your choices actually impact not just character relationships, but actually the story itself. Mass Effect did the same thing, I think, where people were saying, like, towards the end, your choices don't really matter. It's just the green ending, the blue ending, or the red ending. And I feel like a lot of games do that, where they say, oh, yeah, you have all these different choices, and your choices will really affect the game. But they don't really affect the game. They just maybe affect a cutscene or two at the end. So I would like to see more games where the story is dramatically changed. Like, you can, more like Fallout. I think Fallout did a pretty good job. Fallout 4 did a pretty good job, depending on whether you went with the Institute, the Brotherhood of Steel, or the, who is the other one? The Railroad? Yeah. I want something more like that, where it encourages me to replay the game, but to try make different choices, because I'm going to get something vastly different.
What I think is that, although I really love the stories of some games that I play recently, what I feel like is that they are simplistic in the fact that you play the game and you see where the story is going, and you're not even at half the game. You guess outright how the story is going to end. And that, even if the story is super interesting, it's a letdown. Really, and I don't know, all games are out there, and maybe there is some games like this, but I haven't felt a story with a massive twist, like, for instance, in Final Fantasy VII, where you realize three-quarters in the game that Cloud was completely deranged and actually lives the life of someone else. And since the beginning, he's just spouting lies, and he has a big issue in his head. This kind of big twist, which would make the story even more interesting, and something that you would have never guessed would happen. I don't see many games with this kind of twist these days. I find that they are kind of playing it safe. We want a Hollywood happy ending, so let's do this way and go this way and have a little drama in the middle, and that's it. Of course, if you have some games which are completely different and more like I described. Of course, feel free to comment and give me the names of these games, because I'd be very interested in playing them.
That makes a lot of sense. Very cool. So I think you guys know what is my expected answer that mentions Mass Effect, and I enjoyed Mass Effect as well because I did the story of 1 and 2 and 3, and I do remember not pressing the space bar very quickly as the dialogue was going, like, very often. It's not like I was playing Dragon Quest Builders and there is some story in it. And I do find myself after the first dialogue box just hitting me, so I could just skip it, just tell me what to do. But like lore and stuff, I remember playing Skyrim 11 years ago or 12 years ago and looking at some of the books and some of the story. I guess it's as I've gotten older and stuff, I've always felt like there is a countdown on my gaming time. Jesus Christ. Yeah, even when I was a kid, I had this restriction of when I was growing up, my mom was like, okay, Saturday or Sunday, you can play games for an hour. So that's it. And even as an adult and not having lived in my house since I was 17, I've never played games for longer than an hour and a half. I don't even play games for 2 hours in a stretch. So that's why I always feel lore and story or background stuff in games is always just stopping me from enjoying stuff, because I get my story from books or games, or TV shows usually, because I watch less TV now. So I find like games is just for playing and doing stuff and making choices and, you know, killing stuff if it's an FPS, or turtling if it's a RTS game, or playing cards and totally steamrolling someone if it's Hearthstone, or just like games are for doing, and books and TV are for passively absorbing a story. I enjoyed the first Assassin's Creed when it came to history and story. But then again, I never felt like, I believe like some games where lore or story is optional is better for my kind of personality or playing style. But where stories like in Dragon Quest or other games where you have to get through the story or you have to do this cutscene and you can't skip it, I really hate that now. Sometimes the stuff is actually really interesting, but other times it's just, I feel like I don't think in 2022 or in the future, anything should be forced on the player, because if the player doesn't want to listen to your story, fine, that's just let them play. They already paid the $60 or $70 or $20, whatever the price is for their game. And if they don't want to enjoy it, that's their choice.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I don't watch too much TV these days because I just game so much. Yeah, so games are my stories. That's what I've given up TV and books for. So that might be why I enjoy stories.
It's also nice when you can watch your story on the screen and then continue gaming it. Jurassic Park, you watch it on TV on the big screen, and then you play Jurassic Park Evolution and you manage your own islands with dinosaurs. That's even cooler.
That is very cool. I will say it's like the bridge between like multimedia or merging stuff between TV and games is cool. I think I just saw the headline just now. Paramount Plus picked up 4.8 million subscribers in the last like month. So they're the guys that have the Halo. And I believe, like just what Antoine said, I can imagine a future. Is it 343 Studios that do Halo? Yeah, they're the ones who like become, like Antoine said, like a Halo TV show and a Halo game mixed together, and they finally make that successful. Unlike that old RPG that they used to have a TV show on Sci-Fi and they used to have a game.
What was that?
It's Defiance. Defiance was that. That was the TV show. I don't know if you guys ever saw it. I love the TV show, and the game was not that popular, but the idea behind the TV show was that the game and the TV show would mix together.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. And on the other side, it's always very good when you have, Street Fighter, which is just basically people beating themselves up, and after you have Street Fighter, the movie, and then you have a laugh. Exactly. With Mr. Bison.
Adam, I didn't want to ask you, did you know it's Square Enix Golden Week the Golden Week in Japan? So is the stuff on PlayStation on sale?
I haven't seen a Square Enix Golden Sale on the PlayStation. I've seen they have their... Oh, wait, they have a... PlayStation has a Golden Week sale in general. Yes. Square Enix. Yeah, PlayStation's doing a Golden Week sale, but I don't think it's exclusively Square Enix.
No, it's not. I said Square Enix by mistake, but it's just Japan Golden Week sale.
Yep, they've done their Golden Week sale. That's how I got, what did I get? I got Cyberpunk for 50% off, and I got something else, I don't remember what it was, and I got it for 80% off. So I ended up saving. Oh yeah, no, it's going to. That's the plan. But yeah, I've saved. Let's see, because I think it said the overall price would have been something like 4,000 something NT, and I ended up spending like 800. So I basically saved a little over $100 US, and
just save 100% and not get hit.
Yeah, I can hear you, Antoine. I think we might have lost Adam. So Antoine, are you gonna buy any game?
Oh, I didn't even realize there was a sale, so now I'm gonna have to watch. Maybe there's something very interesting, why not?
I can hear you, can you not hear me?
We lost you for 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could hear you the whole time. Everything was fine.
I was thinking maybe there's the latest Stellaris expansion, if it goes on sale, it's not out yet. That could have been something to, I would have.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff I was just, why I said Square Enix before, because I guess a whole like bunch of Final Fantasies on Switch are on sale. 7, Final Fantasy 8, Remastered, 9, 10, 12, 14, and there's a whole bunch of other Square Enix games on sale.
Yeah, I didn't see too much. I didn't see too much Square Enix stuff on there. It was Strangers in Paradise on sale? I don't think so. It just came out. Most of the games didn't really interest me.
Oh, okay. Is you two being the Final Fantasy experts, if you have to choose between 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, and 15, what would you choose?
7.
7, 8, 9, but don't know in which order.
I'd go 7, 9, 12. No, 7, 9, 12, 10 are tied, and then 8 would be last.
Okay. I think I'll start with 8, then 9, then 7. I played 7 way too much.
Remember, I've never played a Final Fantasy besides being Adam's friend and hearing about Final Fantasy for the last decade.
That's not possible.
So I'm just thinking it's cheap enough, so even if I play it and I hate it, it's just $8 down the drain. So because Final Fantasy 7 is $8 on the Switch store, and the original price is $16.
Yeah, if you haven't played one and you wanted to play one, I would suggest maybe 7, 9, or 10 would be one of the ones I suggest to play first. 12 is a bit long, and the battle system is really interesting, but it can have long kind of gaps where you're not doing much. And 8 is broken.
The 12 would work if you take Zodiac Edition and Zodiac Age. And you put it speed time 4. Otherwise, it's terribly slow. It's unplayable.
No, it's going to be super slow for me.
Yeah. It definitely is slow because you have to like walk from point A to point B and it can take a long time. So if you're new to it and you want to go through quickly, 7, 9, or 10 would be a good choice. Yeah, it kind of depends on what kind of story you want. 7's going to be a little bit darker. It's going to be more like happy, like the, you know, and little. It's not happy, but it's more like the chibi art and whatnot, and 10's kind of a young adult film kind of movie thing.
Gameplay wise, I think he's gonna prefer 10 because 7, 8, 9, you have a big world map that you can go freely on. On the 10, it's a big giant corridor.
Yeah, 10's really very linear. Yeah, 10 will lead you from the beginning straight to the end.
Yeah, with no freedom. That's why I didn't like the gameplay on this
one. You really have to like be like, oh, okay, I'm really gonna try these alternate paths and whatnot. You have to search for it. But yeah, it's basically a giant corridor with rooms off to the side.
I like that idea. I might have to change it because I really like that sort of linear experience these days.
Yeah, 10's going to be the most linear, so you might want to start with 10 for you.
Thanks for the advice, gentlemen.
Linear too, huh?
13 is, but people don't like 13. I've never played 13. I've always wanted to, but...
People think because the characters are not as good. Vanny is just insufferable.
Neither wanted to ask you is, what do you guys think about Square Enix selling Tomb Raider and a lot of their Western studios for $300 million?
I heard that, and that's weird. Some people are saying that the reason they're doing it is because they want to. They're working towards a Sony acquiring them, and so they're basically lowering their own value so that it'll be easier for Sony to acquire them. Which is a weird choice, but yeah, I don't know. I don't really, I could understand maybe some of the studios that aren't doing super well, but like Crystal Dynamics with Tomb Raider is super successful. Why would you sell that one? So that one seemed like an odd one to me.
Yeah, same. It's a really weird choice. Maybe they are thinking that they just did a trilogy of game and they're not going to have a big success for another 5 or 6 years because everybody has played Tomb Raider for the next 5 years. But still, that's not, as far as the franchise goes, that's not something you should put down the drain. Really, it's a very, like, who doesn't know Lara Croft in the world, really?
Yeah, yeah. The Crystal Dynamics one to me seems strange. Some of the other ones, it seemed like there were a lot of games that either hadn't had an entry in a long time or the studio wasn't super big. But yeah, the Crystal Dynamics one just seems odd. And so the fact that they're just selling off all the Western developers too seems like a really odd choice, because I've heard people saying, or I shouldn't say I heard, I've seen people saying that, oh, maybe they're trying to streamline themselves so they'll be better for a PlayStation acquisition. But why would you sell off your Western developers? Because Sony's not a Japanese company anymore. Now they're mostly, you know, Western run. They're based out of the US. So selling off your Western developers so that you can be bought out by a Western publisher, or not publisher, but a Western company, it just seems like an odd choice. So I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea what they're thinking, and I have no idea what their situation is. I don't know, maybe they really need money, which I doubt, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
My theory is, because I saw the news, was that they're going to do the NFT thing. And given the Western audience's perception of microtransactions, and they're not our fault, microtransactions do suck. You know, in-game purchases do suck, but I think it's just looking like Taiwanese news, like the last few days, we can definitely see that the idea of spending money in games, microtransactions, that sort of stuff, NFTs, are definitely going to be, I think, an Asian thing moving forward, and the Western audience will come to accept it at a bare minimum. So they knew with Tomb Raider, with other stuff, no, if any sort of microtransaction NFT stuff is mentioned, nope. But they know they sell that stuff off, they get some money, they can just focus on the Asian market and make X amount of money. Why not?
Maybe. But yeah, I don't know. Because they had, was it Lara Croft Go and some other things. So they've done some interesting stuff with, again, that same IP. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Anton, what do you think?
Honestly, no idea. Really, I just don't know what's the plan there. So we'll see in the news again.
All right, guys, what are the plans, gaming plans, between now and next week?
Like I said, the only thing I'm going to do is probably stream Death Stranding on Friday. And other than that, I don't really have too much plans. Maybe play some more Death Stranding over the weekend or whatever. But yeah, I might dabble around and pray for the gods a little bit longer. I was thinking of making a review video of it, but we'll see how that works, because I didn't record anything, so I'd have to go back and record everything. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, other than that, not too much.
Yes, I'm gonna keep streaming some Genshin Impact. No commentary unless I actually have people watching on Twitch and they want to talk to me. I would be very happy to. Otherwise, yeah, no commentary. Keep doing the story and see where it goes.
Very cool. I wanted to stream last weekend, test out Adam's restream. Adam, so have you streamed recently? Do you still have restream?
I restreamed on Friday last week, and it was just, yeah, it hiccuped something like 20 times. So I don't really know what it is. I don't know if it's restream. I don't know if it's my internet. It shouldn't be my internet, because obviously, like, for example, when I'll be recording and you and I can talk the whole time. So I don't know why restream jumps out, but Google. So I don't know why we've lost apparently me a couple times here. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's my internet or if it's restream or what, but it's continuing to go on. So
I guess
it shouldn't be restream. I didn't have any issue with Genshin Impact streams I did.
It must be my internet then. So I don't know what it is with my internet, but our house is not designed for it. Yeah, it might be my issue.
You haven't changed anything in a major way, and you were streaming fine before that. I don't know what happened in the last like few weeks.
Yeah, just the last three weeks, it just went up and started doing it. So I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know. My internet's always wonky and weird. Yeah, who knows? And I've been playing like Final Fantasy 15 and not 15, 14, and I haven't had any issues. I haven't done any of the big, what do you call them? I haven't done any raids or something like that. Maybe what I need to do is, because sometimes when I get a raid, I'll notice that suddenly everybody stops and I'm just running around and nobody's doing anything, and then it just kind of catches up. So I haven't done a raid in a long time, so maybe I should do a raid and see if I'm getting hiccuping issues or if it's fine. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. We've been streaming like TV and stuff. Like last night we watched what was it? My wife and her friend watched Pitch Perfect, and there were zero issues there. But I guess with the video, they buffer it a bit. But yeah, I watched We haven't had any problems with streaming stuff, so I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so everyone, thanks for giving this first Twitter Spaces a try. I was hoping the Twitter Spaces algorithm would allow people to jump in, but if you're listening to this in the podcast, this can actually be made into a YouTube video as well. If you are listening to this and you think, okay, oh, sorry, guys, I was busy on, what time would that be? Tuesday night, American time. Others would have loved to have joined, or you should have advertised this a bit more. Please don't forget to check out our Starfield episode. Starfield is going to be the major game we are covering. Antoine had a wonderful idea moving forward that we're going to try to cover some sort of notable or big AAA, maybe AA games coming forward. And next week is going to be the first episode. We'll be back to streaming that live. We're talking about Adam's Game Forspoken, and we'll cover a different aspect of this. And then maybe that's what we'll do. And then we'll still do like maybe a Starfield episode every month or so until it comes out. If, as the guys say, it comes out on time. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube and hit the notification bell. That bell does help for the algorithm for some reason. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, right? Because this is our first Twitter Spaces. And if you do want to do this live radio show thing, that would be awesome. Follow us on Instagram as well. Sorry. And that is it. Guys, thank you for giving this a try. I really appreciate it. And we will talk to everybody next week.
All right.
Yep.
Have a good evening.
Yes, everyone else, enjoy your day. And Antoine, we are on time for once. And talk to you guys later.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!